Welcome back to the Food Fellas Podcast. I'm Dub. Today I'm joined by Nick,
Yo,
Nectro,
Hey,
and Ange.
Mahaba.
it's Merhaba.
Merhaba, oh, sorry.
I hope
Did I pronounce it right?
We'll take it.
I think we're saying that because today we've got a special guest again. Right next to me, we have Amar.
Yep.
Amar from, from Cookie Culture. So that's our special guest. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us. First of all, we always kick it off with what we ate this week. Good or bad, doesn't matter. So we'll let the guest go first. What did you eat this week?
I went to Shop 225, and I don't know if anyone's been there. It's in Pasco Vale. It's an Italian spot. I think they were rated the best pizza,
one of the best.
Yeah, really, really good. So that's why.
What did you have?
I had the, it was like a potato pizza.
Nice.
Oh, interesting.
That's good. Potato base.
The crust, their dough is like phenomenal.
Are you a pineapple on pizza person?
Absolutely not.
That's all right, guys. Thanks for having us. Time's over. That's why.
I'm Italian. Pineapple? No.
Absolutely not.
Hey, I don't like pineapple either.
Oh, well, no, you can join me there.
Good lord.
It has to be on the pizza. Oh.
No.
Pineapple on pizza? Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, there we go.
I'd rather strawberry.
On a pizza?
Yeah.
With Nutella.
With Nutella, that's
not
right.
Ham and cheese.
Ange, what about you?
I'm probably going to pronounce this wrong, but went to Demochi, which was the fried chicken ice cream. Remember, I went to Sydney and this was going viral. Tried to get my hands on it whilst I was in Sydney and didn't manage to do it. So it's now arrived in Melbourne. It's like a fried chicken ice cream shaped in a fried chicken. It's pretty good. Very nice.
Did I see? Has it got chocolate in, on the inside as well?
Ice cream coated in chocolate, and that's then there's like a cornflake crumb on top, and they give you some like raspberry coolie as well. It's pretty good.
I've got to try that.
Yeah, I feel like that looks better than what it will taste.
Look, it's pretty good.
Yeah, okay.
Good. Full comes in like a KFC looking box.
KFC box, a pack. Yeah, it's pretty good.
That's cool.
Red tray like KFC as well. It's good.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, nice. This week, well, this is how the guest ended up on here. I went down to Cookie Culture, like we do every Sunday. It's a Sunday ritual now. And I had to get my hands on the San Sebastian Biscoff Cheesecake Donut and the almond croissant that was filled with cookie dough and brownie. And I say every time, Amar, you never miss, ever. You never miss. I come down, I got a smile on my face, I leave there. It was just, it's so good because it makes it even better because it's not something that you usually do. Yeah, it's like you've done it for years. And for me personally, you're going to shoot me. You're making top three donuts in Melbourne right now.
Top three?
Top three donuts in Melbourne
two.
Right
I know,
now.
Who are the other two?
Top three donuts in Melbourne right
who are the
now.
The other two, huh?
Top three donuts in Melbourne right now, full stop.
Oh, we'll leave it for another day.
Full stop. We're not about to bring up no temple or pyramid.
No.
We're not bringing up flashbacks of what, 2019?
Donut pyramids.
No, but honestly, like your dough, amazing. The San Sebastian cheesecake inside with the Biscoff, amazing. But the cookie dough croissant was definitely my favorite. Just
that
because, like,
so
the textures, the flavors, you kill it all the time.
Thank you. Thank you. glad you enjoyed it.
So Nick forgot to mention I was there as well.
Well, that's not the first time something happened. We were just at McDonald's before this.
Oh,
and what happened with your order?
You need to tell us about this because I'm sitting there from the corner of my eye and I see this happen. And I'm
just
like,
quickly, where? Oh, I mentioned the McDonald's, or should we?
We're at McDonald's. It doesn't matter
which one I'm saying.
Nah.
Whatever. Okay. We'll leave that one alone. So I ordered a triple cheeseburger meal, and my order was number 100, so pretty easy to remember. And then they screamed out, oh, order 100. And then this guy comes, grabs the bag, and then starts running out. And then I go to the guy, was that order 100? He goes, yeah. And I go, well, I'm order 100. And then off he went. And that's it, just make me another one. But yeah, I maybe you had to be there, but it was shocking.
It's just the shock horror of it.
Run off, sprint with your order, man.
That was funny as.
He's eating good tonight.
No, but going back to what you were saying, you were with Nick, he left you out by accident.
No, I think he just wanted to give me my
I'll let you have your moment.
My moment. I would have to agree, and I'm not saying it because you're here with us.
Thank you.
I actually preferred the San Sebastian cheesecake donut over the
croissant.
Mm-hmm. But I still liked the croissant. I was speechless. I didn't have any words, but it was just perfect.
Thank you.
And you don't miss. in a DJ Khaled voice, another one.
I feel like this kind of leads on to our conversation of why we have you here. Like, for me personally, you're here because, like, you've inspired me in my own work. I feel like, for those of you that know you back from Chocolate Chip, you were the one in Melbourne that was constantly reinventing the wheel. Like, you've done flavors that most of us wouldn't even think of. Mac and cheese, Vegemite, the crazy ones. You're going to let you take the reels here. But basically, like, I feel like you've been someone who's, like, reinvented the scene for cookies in Melbourne with your flavors, profiles, and you test the boundaries of what can and can't be done. And that, for me, is, like, something that I really look up to in what you've done with your business.
That's so nice.
Bring back the mac and cheese. I'm intrigued.
You've got to tell everyone else. I think mac and cheese was great. But, like, again, like, it's so hard to experiment with these flavors because people don't really want them. They're not inclined to, like, gravitate towards them. So then you kind of have to, like, pull back that creative strain.
Yeah. It's hard, man. We spoke about this the other week. Like, everyone just wants this sort of the same flavors that we spoke about. Nutella, Oreo, Biscoff, you know, just the same sort of flavors. Yeah.
But how many would you make? Like, say you were to make the mac and cheese ones.
We used to make, like, 10 a day. We used to sell maybe 5, 6.
Oh, right.
So, like, it wasn't worth it. But, again, everyone that had them was like, this is so good. It's so weird, but it works. And we're like, yeah, like, it's just a matter of trying, but people don't want to try.
Cause so they're could so, like, you make 7? Because I'll be the 7th to try.
Absolutely.
I think that's the biggest thing. People get comfortable. Like, they're just comfortable with what they know. Some people are just too scared to step out. I think us sort of as reviewers, we're more inclined to do that and step out of our boundaries and try things.
Yeah. Well, guys, if you're in your comfort zone, it's a very dangerous place to be. Get out of your comfort zone.
That's it.
And try these mac and cheese biscuits.
Mac and cheese
donut sundaes, guys.
What did you have that was a highlight?
What did I have? I was at pitch all weekend, man. That was a
mess. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that disaster?
It was like 40 degrees,
Blending up those smoothies behind the bar?
I seen helicopters everywhere. No, it wasn't that bad, man. The media made it look worse than what it was, I feel. It was hot, but, like, people were coping, you know. I had some good food there. Nuggies is always at the festivals. Nuggies with the little nuggets, pretty cool. And then Goldie Boy had a good burger as well.
Yeah, he's good underrated. Smash burger. Forgot about him.
It was a mess. Like, it just got cancelled and everyone didn't know what was going on. And we're in the middle of the bush and everyone thought there was going to be fires, but everyone got out of there safe, so it was all good.
But were they playing music or anything? Was it just quiet?
Yeah, no, they were, but then not on the Saturday. And then the Sunday they were. And it was just stop-start. It was weird. It was just, super weird, man.
All right, let's go back to origin stories. Let's go back to when we were calling up and placing the orders, coming to pick up us outside your house, right, driving down the street, holding boxes in the street and stuff like that. Let's go back because I feel like you just came out on Instagram. You were doing the crazy flavors, like I said, and you just took everyone by storm.
What year? What year was this? What year did you start?
2019.
Just before everything.
Was
just
it before COVID?
Maybe end of 2018, 2019. Yeah.
How did we go from school teacher to cookies? What brought up the idea and the passion for it?
So, it's not a very overwhelming or exciting story. It's quite underwhelming. So I was watching a show and it's called Food Porn. And it was about, like, the cool spots in America that, like, the go-to spots that you should go to. So the last segment was a bakery called Levain. And I was like, oh, like, this looks cool. And I was always into baking. I used to just bake cakes at home and whatever. I have 3 brothers, but none of them used to eat my food. So that was fun. So I never really got, like, feedback. No one really told me anything about, like, how good I was or if it was even edible. So I would just go off by my own thing and I was like a chubby little kid that was just eating everything because no one else is eating it.
I feel like families eat all the time, so they don't give you any feedback. Yeah, it's like, well, are they good?
It's okay. Right? Yeah. It's okay, but it's like the best thing I've ever had. But anyway, so then I was like, oh, cool, like that looks amazing. I would, like, you know, Melbourne doesn't have anything. And back then, Melbourne was really known for being like the food capital. And it's interesting because you see now, and I feel like Melbourne's not really there anymore. I feel like if we're looking nationally, it's probably like Sydney that's gone above than Melbourne.
Sort of spoken about that. I feel like it dropped off.
Yeah, so I feel like but at that point we were the peak, and I was like, oh, cool. Like, I'm sure someone will have this like soon. Like, you know, how cool. And I waited a couple months, and I was just thinking about it, and I didn't see anything pop up, and I was like, why am I waiting? Why don't I just like make a cookie and like see how it goes? So then, I did some research, looked up some recipes. I don't like to copy a recipe, and I feel like this is what most people do. They'll just find a recipe off Google and then claim it as theirs. And I feel like it's so inauthentic because you're just making money or making something out of someone else's ideas.
Yeah.
And biggest pet peeve of mine is like people not being original. And I feel like even when I began my business and then you would see like other businesses coming up or like other cookies, it's not that you don't get annoyed because there's other businesses. You get annoyed because they're copying to a T. It's to a T. Yeah. And you're like, you've even named the cookie the same thing. Like, just be a bit more creative. Like, again, there's so many pizza places, there's so many burger places. No one gets upset at each other if they're doing something different. And most of the time, people are doing something different, even if it's just like a little element, like a different sauce or a different like cheese or whatever it is. Like, it's different. But I felt like with cookies, again, because it was like the first in Melbourne, I would claim, but I would claim that was the first. And that is my selling point, Melbourne's first New York-inspired cookie. And again, like even going on that, people are like, but what's a New York cookie? And like you still get customers that are like, what's a New York cookie? And my explanation of that is it's just a big loaded cookie. Like it's busy, it's big, kind of like New York. It's big, busy. I haven't even been to New York, but like,
oh, really?
Like from what I've seen, I know it's like busy and it's always on the go. So for me, just doing that, I guess I tested, I had my sister-in-law. I used to get her to taste everything because she just loved food as well. So that was great. So she helped a bit with that. And then I used to work, I was a teacher. I was a high school sub teacher, like a CRT, and I was working a retail job. So I would take my cookies to my retail job and I would just give them to the staff and be like, all right, like feedback, just try them. What do you think? And everyone's like, oh, this is cool. It's like a cafe cookie. So my first ever cookie was just a choc almond. Like Levain's was a choc walnut. And I was like, switch it up a little bit. Walnuts aren't really well received here as much as like almonds or cashews are here. So I feel like an almond, choc almonds usually like go well. Anyway, so then everyone really loved them. And I was like, cool. And then I said, okay, like what else can I do with this? Like, what can you fill it with? And at the time, there was this European little like supermarket next to me and they had Biscoff. And I remember there was no Biscoff in Australia.
Yeah, no one even knew what it was.
No one knew what it was.
Before the hype.
But and just like being on Instagram, I would see like in the UK, like Biscoff was like massive. Even like in America, it was something, but it wasn't as big as what it was in the UK. And then when I saw that jar, I was like, shit, like $12, $15 for a jar. I don't care. Like I just want to taste it. Like it just looks good. So then, I remember buying a jar and I was like, shit, like this is good. Like you could totally put this in a cookie. And then so I tried the Biscoff and then I did like a really crappy little photo shoot with my sister-in-law and we just did like a couple flavors and it took all day. And they looked horrible. The photos, I still have them. They're absolutely horrible. And
you
go,
a camera or a phone?
No, a phone. And if you go down to like my Instagram, you might see a couple of them. Horrendous.
I'm definitely doing that later. Yeah.
It's good to see like the transition, or the transformation of it all, like just developing. But I've always used my phone. And I have an Android, and Androids cop so much like crap for being shit cameras. But
the worst
like
camera quality.
Honestly, I feel like they've gotten better now because like I'll go outside and my donut photos, and if you see them, that's like just on an Android. Yeah. The lighting is like amazing. No filters. I'll never use a filter on a photo. And I'm like, wow, like Android, that's me.
See, but personally, I think to me, like one of your greatest traits is like you're so humble and genuine. And I think like you just said that it's a very underwhelming story, but to me sitting here, you're taking on two jobs here. Like you're doing your normal jobs as well as baking cookies. Right, and going out on a limb, like no one had even done desserts. It's easy to say now in hindsight, oh, I would have worked because desserts are crazy. Back then, no one knew what it was. Like, I personally think it's inspiring that you've taken on a risk like that as well as two jobs. Like, I don't think there's anything underwhelming about it at all.
But even back then, like with Instagram, no one was really selling stuff on Instagram like that in a way, you know. It was sort of ahead of the curve, I feel, you know.
But I was doing my two jobs and I was doing that. And then I started to post, and I've always been horrible at social media. I used to have a MySpace, didn't have anything on it. I used to have a Facebook, had nothing on it, even in high school, deleted that, went to uni, was like, shit, you have like group like assignments, you need a Facebook. Had a Facebook, nothing on it, just never been like pro social media. Had an Instagram, nothing on it, was the person that was just like watching people's stories but like had nothing kind of thing. So then I was like, okay, this is like a whole different like field for me now. I don't really know what I'm doing with social media, but like just post a photo. So then I remember I put a task on Airtasker to get a guy to design a logo for me because I didn't know how to even go about that. And then, yeah, I met this guy and he was like, I think his name was Albany from memory. So he was just like a strange guy. But, yeah, he was great. Like, he did my logo. He gave me, like, files, whatever. And then we went from there. And, yeah, my color scheme was always, like, I never wanted anything pink because I felt like it was always – anything pink is always just like sold to like women. And I feel like I didn't want my product to be just like for one like type of niche or like one type of group. So I felt like cookies are for everyone and they were more like neutral colors, which is what I try to do with Cookie Culture Co. as well. Like I feel like every bakery business or anything is always pink. And I feel like it's overdone as well. So it's you're going to get lost with all the other businesses if everyone is pink and it's not even a different shade of pink, it's all the same like light pink.
Yeah,
and it's I don't know what this is anymore. Like, what do you make? Like, but so then I had a decision to make of what job to leave. I thought like if I wanted to like test my cookie business, I needed to leave like something. And I really liked my retail job, but I also like the CRT part of it was more flexible. So I knew like the more like sensible thing to do was just leave the retail. So then, yeah, I left the retail and then I jumped into cookies. And then I used to just post, but I didn't know how to like get my product out there. So I used to just follow all the food pages that had like 10K followers and above. I was like, okay, and just like start liking their content.
So is that the standard, because 10K and above?
Yeah. It is, it's like 10K. But I just didn't know what to do. No one ever told me what to do. Again, not a social media savvy person. I had a couple reach back and they were like, oh, like I've noticed you, like your cookies look great. Like, do you want to like collab? And I was like, sweet. What does that mean? What is that? They're like, do you want to drop off some cookies? And I was like, okay. And then what? Like, and I remember I had one, the first person I dropped them off to, she was trying to charge me for photos. And I didn't know how this worked. And like, I thought in the back of my head, I thought like, you just like give them a product, they take photos, a couple photos. And like, that's like the exchange. Like it's not, you're not really paying anything for it. But this particular person did. I don't know if it was necessarily shady. She did do a whole like portfolio, but I didn't ask for it either. But then I felt like I had to pay for the whole thing because I just didn't, like, I felt bad. Like, you went out of your way to do it when I just dropped off like a box of cookies. So it's like, yeah. So there were like decent photos. I didn't use any of them though. And I'm not trying to be like.
So they weren't decent.
They were
okay. It was a catfish basically.
Yeah, then somehow, I don't even remember how, we got into like the whole bodybuilding industry and the IFBB was like the first thing that we got into, and it was just like very unexpected, very crazy. I had a lot of orders that just come up, and there was a show at the expo, at the fitness expo, and I asked if I could just come in to drop off the orders. And just go, because there were so many orders. There was like 50, 60 orders. And wow. So it was a lot. And again, I was just working from home, small kitchen. I could bake only 5 cookies at a time.
You're joking.
Wow. I remember saying this to people saying to me, oh, like, this is a story to tell. Like, you're going to like look back at this and laugh. I'm not laughing. It was so traumatic. I had 18-hour days of just the weekend, just baking straight, no break. The oven was constantly on. It was, you had like, especially when I had my website, I'm going on tangents, but it's just so everywhere when like you think about it now. And it's just like you had thousands of cookies to bake in 2 days and it was just ridiculous. Like such a small, small kitchen. And like that one shelf in the oven was like the only shelf that got them right without like flattening them. Exactly. So I didn't want to risk it. But the IFBB were like really good and then they kind of helped me. So, like, Tony Doherty, shout out to him because he actually, like, let me go into, like, a lot of the bodybuilding shows, go backstage and just, like, sell my cookies or just give orders out. And then, like, they kind of looked after me with just all the shows that they had. So that was, like, a nice little pathway inside. And then a lot of exposure as well because, obviously, bodybuilders, like, they diet for, like, half the year, if not more. And then they just want to have, like, 6 cookies all at once. So it's, like, it was, like, good business as well and, like, yeah, like they were good because they wanted to try the weird things. Like, I remember I had a couple of people that wanted to try, like, a cheeseburger cookie. And it's just, like, that's wild. Because, like, and actually say it was good. Like, that's kind of wild. But
that sounds like my kind of cookie, I think.
going back to what you were saying originally about the New York cookies, because you were like, I don't really know what a New York cookie was. I feel like you've taken a New York cookie and then put your own spin on it. Because, like, back then it was only Levain. It was the chunks. And that was it.
Yeah.
People know you for your fillings. Like, if I'm going to cookie culture, I'm going for a mud cake filling. I'm going for, like, some sort of peanut butter and jelly. Like, the fillings are your signature part of it, which is what, like, kind of makes you, I think.
I remember what you guys were saying last time about, like, flavors in America, like, really packing a punch, and, like, here it doesn't do it. And that was, like, my fear. Like, I would rather have too much of something, give someone too much than not enough. And I feel like that's, I'll always overfill a cookie. If, like, I don't think anyone's ever said, from what I've heard that or feedback, that it was underfilled or I wish there was more in it, because I would like to, I personally fill each cookie. So I know how much is going in there and I know how much I would want, and I know that's how much people usually don't want. So like, but even with like flavor, like I'm very particular and I'm really fussy with what I eat. Like it needs, if you're selling me a chocolate mud cake, it needs to taste like the most fudgiest chocolate mud cake ever. Like that's what I expect. And then that's why I feel like people are like, so maybe don't have necessarily high expectations with food. And that's why they just take what they can kind of get. And I feel like that's why the standard probably isn't that high either with food, with like flavors. Like they kind of just like, if it's mud cake, it's just chocolate. So they just leave it at chocolate. It's not like overindulgent like chocolate, if you kind of get what I mean. Like, but I feel like most businesses will just meet that like criteria of just checking off chocolate.
We were talking about this a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, I think bring people on a flavor journey. And I think that was your number one comment. Like,
there's nothing worse than biting into something.
100%.
The flavor's just not there. 100%. You know? And you feel, like I said, you feel underwhelmed.
You need that full flavor experience.
And again, when we spoke about cookies, you said you don't want to have sugar, but you're biting into a cookie because you want that explosion of flavor in your mouth. You know what I mean? Like you said, you want a peanut butter and jelly cookie. You want it oozing out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, of course, that part. Yeah. I meant the actual cookie too.
No, no, but what I'm saying is when you bite into this, you want it, like I said, you want it packed.
100%. Yeah.
Best example is red velvet. Like recently, the red velvet here in Australia, like most places, is just colouring something red.
It's just the chocolate. It's red chocolate velvet cookie.
Cream cheese. Like, and I think with my own brand, I got a lot of inspiration from you, right? When I go to your place, seriously, like you can vouch for me. I've eaten cookies during lockdown. I've eaten a lot of your cookies, right? Yeah. Not only am I getting flavor, but the textures as well. Like if I'm eating a mud cake, I'm eating a mud cake flavored cookie, but I'm also getting the textures of it. I think you have all three elements, which are important part of like a dessert for me, in my opinion.
Thanks so much.
I agree. And she's so generous with the filling that you actually offered me a full jar of Biscoffi if I wanted with my cookie.
Well, the other week you asked for a whole bloody tub of Nutella with your cookies, so.
I know, but I'm just saying she's very generous.
It's the Arab within.
Yeah.
Well, going back to like when you were saying how you had thousands of orders, you cook them in this one oven, where from there, when did you realize that you had to take another step, and what was that next step?
So it was because I launched my website just as COVID happened. So I didn't really know which way to go. I always kind of wanted like a factory or like a van to like, I never thought of an actual shop. And then when COVID happened and I said, okay, I really need to fast track my website, done my website. And then that kind of just exploded and I would sell out constantly and my website was constantly crashing and it was so stressful because it was
being so busy.
But I didn't really think by myself.
It would have been stressful,
It was really, really difficult to get like my web developer who wasn't like in the same state to like help me with my website that was crashing within like a minute of launching. And it was like people messaging you left, right, and center, and then people getting mad. And it's like, I don't know what to do. Like, I don't do this stuff. Like, I'm just trying to make cookies, guys. Like, I don't know. And then, so it was trying to trying to control that. But then thinking about how to like, I don't want to say maximize in like a malicious, intentive way. I think it's more like, how do you maximize on your goal? And or like your dreams. And like for me, I found a lot of obviously like I have a lot of passion in like cooking and baking and just in food in general. And for me, it was, okay, so if this is doing really well now and I looked into a warehouse and I saw that there was a lot of like little things that probably wouldn't have gone my way if I wanted it. And just, I don't know, I felt like you had to kind of think about the longer goal. Like it, COVID, like it was doing well in COVID because people were at home and they couldn't go anywhere. So people were just eating and probably emotionally eating because like people were stressed. People just were, they just didn't know how to feel. Like you're kind of happy that you're kind of home, but then you're kind of like not happy because you have no freedom and you're locked. Yeah. You're like, you feel very constrained, like you're forced to be home, even though you want to be home, but it's the idea of being forced, I think.
Yeah.
So it robs you of that like freedom. So I feel like you kind of had to think, for me, it was, will this do well after COVID online, knowing that people will run outside at the first chance that they get?
Yeah.
So it was like a shop or a storefront sounded more like logical for me to have post-COVID. And I just didn't see how else, like what else I could do after a website that wasn't like a, something physical, like a pop-up. But I thought, if I'm going to, like, why go for a pop-up when, again, it was such a, like a unpredictable time. Like we kept going from lockdown, no lockdown, lockdown, no lockdown, lockdown. Yeah. And it was like, when is this going to end? And like, so yeah, I felt like the shop was probably the best idea, like moving forward. Ideally, I always only ever wanted was just like a window, just like a serving window. I never wanted a big shop. I never wanted like a sit-in, just a window that you serve like fresh hot cookies from the window.
Yeah. Well, that's sort of like how Levain is. Like sometimes just, they're just a window and it's just a small. In New York, obviously, there's smaller shops because the rent's so high.
Yeah.
But here, I feel like in Melbourne, you can't really find things like that.
No. Yeah. You can't. I think I saw one. And then now I've seen like three just along my street. And I was like, this is crazy because this is what I've always wanted. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. But yeah, just.
Why Brunswick, where you're situated, like where you're located?
It wasn't my first preference. I like Sydney Road, just like Coburg, Brunswick area, I kind of like. And it could be just a bit like ignorant of me, but I feel like growing up, I grew up in like the north. So I grew up in like Faulkner, Camberfield, Coburg, Brunswick, Broadie. So like that was like my kind of like region of like, they're the only places we went to. So I always went to Lygon Street, Carlton, and we'd always go to like a little gelati shop over there. And like that was like my childhood. That was like peak childhood, like family, whatever. And then Brunswick East, I had like family friends that had like a place there as well. So it was just like memories of like little nostalgia. And then there was a place in Sydney Road that I wanted, and it was just like off Sydney Road, and it was really good rent, and it was a nice small shop, and it was great. Signed the lease and everything, and then the agent said, no, we like the owner doesn't want to go ahead. So like we had to get rid of that and then just look for another place, and there was nothing. Like post-COVID, there was like, or during COVID, there wasn't really anything available because I feel like people or businesses were still trying to figure out what they wanted to do, whether they wanted to close or whether they were just taking that break or like just trying to like get a feel of what the vibe was going to be like post-COVID as well. And then, yeah, there was just that spot there. And then I thought, oh, this could be nice. Like it's on a corner. But in retrospect now, I'm like, parking's like terrible. So I'm sorry to everyone that goes there because parking is absolutely
horrendous. I feel like that part of Lygon Street's cooler than Carlton Lygon Street now.
It's very different now, yeah.
I think it just depends on like the age and like the generations. Yeah. Like I feel like that's like more, our side is more mature. So like it's good for us, but like all the young kids are like all down that way.
Yeah.
Because
okay.
like, yeah, it's more of a nightlife, I feel like, over there. And the same thing with like our side of Lygon Street. It's more like nightlife, which is why our like operating hours are until night or like we open later because during the day there's no foot traffic because they're all bars. We're just surrounded by bars.
Yeah.
Going back to what you were saying just then, I'm a huge believer in like passion will take you as far. Like you need to be passionate about what you do.
Yeah.
But I don't think anyone ever really like sets you up or preps you for those big decisions. Like, you know, you got to really love making cookies, for example, because when shit happens, like you just lost the store, you can't move in. Or you got to decide whether I drop this much money on, you know, this. It tests like, am I going to be making cookies for the rest of my life? Like, it plays in your mind really, really 100%. Badly. And like, talk us through like those moments where, did you ever question yourself? Like, am I actually doing this? Like how often do you question yourself in such a mental battle owning a business?
Yeah. I think what I say to everyone, I think one of the hardest things I've ever done or definitely the hardest thing I've ever done is owning a business or having a business, because anyone can have a business. It's sustaining a business. And in our economy where people don't really want to spend money and, like, again, COVID and everything, as much as I hate talking about it, like, it's such a big factor of why people are the way that they are now. And just, like, the hospitality industry in general is, like, suffering. And everyone that you talk to in hospitality, I think 95, 98% will tell you straight out, like, yeah, it's actually really difficult. And then the other couple percent will be like, oh, no, it's fine, it's fine. Whether they're actually doing fine or just, like, just telling you that they're doing fine, two different things. But I feel like you can never be prepared for the amount of work that needs to go with it, because if you don't, if you're not actually doing it and you haven't actually done it, you just, it's really hard to explain. It's so, so, so overwhelming. And I'm like, I'd like to think I'm someone that's, like, mentally quite strong and, like, I will work to the bone. And, like, I remember Jordan Peterson said something like, you have to, like, in your, like, early years, try to work as much as you can and then find that, like, that max, like, of amount of hours that you can work and then probably just take a step back. And, like, I've done 22-hour days, and I'm just like, people don't see this. People don't know this. People don't even know me. Like, this is, like, such a big thing for me to even just be on here now. Like, no one has, like, very, very, very rarely do people put, like, a face to the name or a name to the face or whatever. And I feel like, yeah, it's a very, very tough thing. But there's, like, you need to have a good support group around you, I think. And I feel like when you don't have support, that's a whole other factor as well. It really hinders you, because then you kind of have to just keep pushing through. And I feel like that's when, like, again, I'm going to go on tangents, but I feel like this is where, like, people pleasing comes in as well. Cause then, like, you feel like you kind of have to overcompensate for, like, certain things in the way that you deal, like, with business dealings. And then you kind of have to do extra and more for other people, other, like, orders or wholesale or whatever. And, like, you know that it's not even fair of what they're asking from you, but you kind of have to do it because you've just started and, like, you're trying to have, like, a good rep, or, like, you're just trying to, like, push numbers. And, yeah, you do question a lot. And I feel like as much, like, you could do so well, but I feel like you will always question. And I'm someone who needs change, and I need change quite frequently because I get bored, and it doesn't sound fun, but I feel like that's probably why I started making donuts, because I was getting a bit bored from the cookies. And I feel like I need to keep changing, but that's the good thing about having a shop, I think, and having the facility that I do. It's because I can try and I can experiment. And I shouldn't just be limited to cookies, even though I am called Cookie Culture Co., but, like, you know, like, it could be a bakery. Like,
but you can keep evolving.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? 100%.
I'm going to say it officially here now. Make that window spot for cinnamon rolls, donuts, and croissants. I say it to you every Sunday, but now I've set it out to the public. You will see cinnamon rolls on that window space there.
We will. And coffee, because, like, that's what everyone asks
you're
for.
Just like, yeah. You're just like in your head, God damn it, shut up. Stop.
I was ready to retire.
Would you consider, like, shakes as well? And
yeah, so we do shakes now anyway. Okay. And we do our cookie pies and we do our cookies, and our cookie pies do really well. And that was just, like, such a random thing that we had. We had the cookie bombs when we first opened, and that was, like, such a success. Everyone loved them, but they were so, like, tedious to make. And they, like, our staff hated them. Our staff was so traumatized from the fact that they had to make them. And then when we had our birthday, and we had, like, a little eating comp, and then, like, we brought back a couple of, like, our classic things, and that was one of them. They absolutely dreaded it, and they were so scared. So I had to do them because no one wanted to do them. No one wanted to sit there frying them because they're so unpredictable as well with, do you serve, like, raw dough? Is it going to be raw? Is it going to be cooked but still gooey in the middle? Like, it was a very, very, like, difficult thing. But we hate talking about it, but
going back to what you're saying about running business and that, when I put up on my story the other day about you coming on and, like, being a female boss and stuff like that, I was, like honestly overwhelmed by how many girls replied, being like, you know, I just look up to girls, I look up to females that run their own business and stuff like that. And I personally think it's good for you to come on and, like, talk about yourself, because, like, I've had a relationship with you, like, where I come in and I buy your stuff, review it, but I actually don't know much about you. Like, and I feel like it inclines me even more now to support you, knowing that, like, what you've done and stuff like that. Like, I feel like I know you, but I don't know you.
Yeah.
And there's so many girls out there that probably follow you and look at you, that you're inspired by you, that you wouldn't even know about. Like, I saw it and I was like, holy crap, like, look at how many girls want to know about you.
Yeah, it's really interesting because, like, again, a lot of people don't know me. Like, even, like, I've made a lot of friends, customer friends is what I call them, because they were like really good customers that just became like really good friends. And that was because, again, they used to pick up a lot from my house. So it's nice to have
those
that.
Days.
And then, yeah, and it's good because they kind of understand and they can see that transformation of like the chocolate chip to Cookie Culture Co. And then even just me as a person, I think as well. And like, you, again, working from home, you don't have many overheads. And then you come to a shop and you're like, shit, like rent is expensive. Like goods are expensive. Electricity, bills, fees, like staff, wages. You're like, oh my God, like what did I sign up? Like why? Oh, like you, again, if you have a business, guys, you don't have to open up a shop. You can do it from home. If you can do it from home, do it from home.
Oh God. Like, I miss the days of chucking in $20 worth of chocolates, not worrying about cost. The best days, like 100%. Fill it up. Who cares about the price? Yeah, yeah, 100%.
But yeah, like it's interesting because I got a lot of messages as well saying like, oh my God, like we thought you were so shy. And I was like, yeah, I'm an introvert. Like I am shy, but I was a teacher too. So like I can talk, but again, I do get, yeah, I'm a bit shy. So like, I don't like to ever post myself on my business. Like I think I started my business without having a face to it. And I kind of like not having a face to the business. And
Until now, that's
ruined.
Yeah, now that's ruined. Thanks, guys.
We can blow your face.
Just blur it out the whole time.
We can pull one of those.
The circle dots.
Question mark.
Just deepen my voice.
Yeah. Deepen the voice. What about the name change? What, like, how did you go from Chocolate Chip to Cookie Culture?
Yeah, so that was a lot of feedback that I got from like friends, mentors. I had a couple mentors. Mark was actually one of my mentors.
The most influential man in Melbourne.
Absolutely. So yeah, a lot of them said to include the word cookie. They were really like questioning why I didn't have the word cookie. And if I was to be Google searched, or if the word, like if Melbourne cookies were to be searched, would I come up as the chocolate chip? So my first association with the chocolate chip was that I would think of a chocolate chip cookie. But then I had people saying, oh, no, I'd think of a muffin, or I would just think of chocolate if I heard the chocolate chip. And I thought that was so strange. Then I questioned myself and I was like, am I crazy? Like if I'm thinking, I thought that was a logical thing, like a cookie for like, you know, is that not the connotation that you have with like a chocolate chip?
I originally went to sell a chocolate bar and I made it. I'm making brownies. What the hell does that have to do with brownies? But you just kind of like...
But I guess
when you're passionate, the passion drives it and everything else doesn't make sense.
I used to call it, I used to think your brand was Choc-lit. Like the chocolate is lit.
Moving on.
And I still call it that sometimes and I forget.
But you could like rationalize, right? Because you use chocolate bars in your brownies.
Yeah.
Like you used to put like whole chocolate bars. So like that makes sense. For me, that makes sense because I can see how chocolate and like a chocolate bar would go into a brownie. Would I think like automatically, oh, this is a brownie business? No. But like when you see it, you're like, yeah, like you can put two and two together. But I guess most people.
We'll agree to disagree.
But, yeah. But yeah, so it was kind of that. And then I was just like trying to like play around with words. And I was like, what is there? And I remember on Lygon Street where I was, there was a place called Coffee Co. or something, Coffee Culture Co. or something like that. And I was like, that was interesting. And then they closed down. And I said,
I'll be taking that one.
Yeah, that's good.
Tribute to you guys, yeah.
But I love how they all start with C, Cookie Culture Co.
It was a nice little
rolls off the tongue, yeah.
What can we see next for Cookie Culture? When can we see Cinnamon Rolls?
Have you got any big news podcast exclusives for us?
Cinnamon Rolls. They have been requested. I will make them, but this week we're going to do the Biscoff Scotch Egg. We will do that this week, even though I didn't want to. I wanted to leave it until like Easter-y time, but yeah, we're going to do that.
Hey, it's out for me.
So. We got hot cross buns on Boxing Day. It's fine.
They're old news.
So then we'll do the rolls the week after.
Yep. Nice.
The week after.
What's your favorite creation ever done?
A hard question.
Say top. Three?
Like asking your favorite child.
If you got more than one, sure.
See, I was even thinking today, what's my favorite cookie? And I don't know if I could really give you one, but I would probably say something like basic, like a Reese's. Like I really like my Reese's cookie. Yeah. I think it's kind of just like, it's basic, but it hits all like the salty, sweet like flavors want. Top three.
What about the crazy ones? What's your best crazy one you've done?
Strawberry donut. PB cereal milk and Nob. No, my top three for yours.
I was going to say, he three. Asked who, not you.
Top three.
That's Nick's top three.
What's this podcast?
Sorry, I have to jump in. I'm very passionate about your cookies. I have to jump in and let you know why.
Going back to that, that's why it's so hard for you to choose a favorite, because you're also passionate.
Yeah.
And it shows, like, in the product, yeah. You know, like, you love, and like I said, you feel every cookie, you know, and that's the love is what's there, and that's why people come back.
I hope so.
She's literally got jars of any spread you ask for, even if they're from Turkey. Like on Sunday, you were showing Sunday,
her. That's right, the white chocolate one. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but back to crazy creations. I'd probably say that I did a really big meat pie, cookie cake kind of thing a couple years ago for, I think it was Australia Day or the grand final. I can't remember what it was for. But that was actually nice. Like, again, these flavors, they actually work, because what people don't understand, it's like people chase the salty sweet,
yeah,
like profile. And as long as there's both elements, it works. Like, it could be anything.
Did it actually have beef mince in there?
Yes. They were actually like patty pies. Like, I actually just stacked patty pies and just shoved them in.
Yeah. I know a guy named Brayden that I reckon would love that.
That's our producer, for anyone wondering.
So currently we're in Ramadan. Do you find it difficult to be making the cookies and all your desserts and not being able to taste them to know how they actually taste?
You can kind of smell what it needs. It's kind of weird. It's a weird concept. So, like, I can kind of smell how much salt it's, like, needed for something. Right.
It comes with experience probably. That's why.
Probably. I don't know. Yeah. But it's just, like, a weird trait that I can do, and it's usually, like, pretty bang on. So it's difficult only probably on that Sunday, but everything else is kind of good, because you already know, like, my measurements for everything else.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah.
That salt thing's pretty crazy, though.
Yeah, it's like, weird. It's so weird. But that's with food in general. I can just smell when it needs salt. Yeah.
Wow.
What's the next big flavor, in your opinion? Because we spoke about
the trends. Yes. Well, what do you think's next for the
big flavors? Like, say, if we had no more Biscoff, Nutella, pistachio, what would be the next big thing?
I would even put with you, like, the Bueno white hazelnut. I don't think that's going to be a thing. If someone creates some sort of white chocolate, just spread in general.
That'd be good, eh? If someone created a white chocolate spread. That would be good, wouldn't it?
It was really good. I bought a spread from some guy in Sydney. It was from the UK, and it was a caramelized white chocolate spread.
Ooh.
And it had the little, like, crunchy bits in it, and that was amazing. So I feel like if someone did, like, a caramel-ish
kind
of spread, that would do really well.
That's one thing that, like, only peanut butter has, like, crunchy. Do they still have the Biscoff crunchy one or not?
Yeah, imagine like a blondie spread with, like, little bits in it.
Yeah.
So imagine someone done that.
Imagine that.
Oh.
Ooh.
Spread.
One more thing before we wrap up. This isn't a question. It's more of a request. When are we going to see a Cookie Culture Co. X Chocolate?
Chocolate?
Collab.
We've done or plenty, and they always go off. They always go off. Yeah. So I think we're definitely due for one, but I think we're due one for one on your end, and inspired by chocolate donut.
Ooh, because you've never done a donut, have you?
Nope. Mm. No. Ooh. We've done a brownie and a donut.
like a blondie.
Not a blondie, but we could do a blondie.
Yeah. That's one good.
There we go. Done. Let's get working on it.
Done deal.
Now, Mar was kind enough to bring in, we spoke about
Tres leches.
Donuts here.
Tres leches donut.
Is anyone going to have some?
All right, fine, if I have to.
I'll leave it up to you.
We're going to see a live review by Nick. Let's go,
maybe just,
I can start it. Hey, guys.
A bit of ASMR.
All right, so we got the Tres leches donut.
That was a careful bite, man.
Wow, that looks so good.
You know what makes a tres leches cake good? You know it's good.
When you got the sugar on your nose.
That too, but also the cake's moist. It's meant to be wet, and most people have it very dry. When it's wet and moist, it's perfect. This is perfect.
What did you prefer out of that or San Sebastian?
I like that because it's different.
Yeah. Looks like a burger.
This is huge.
Yeah.
It literally is the size of a burger.
So do you call them donut burgers?
Sandwiches.
Sandwiches.
This is the first time I'm trying your donuts too. So.
Oh my God, true.
Oh, haven't you?
Got this BS piece of cake in there.
Make sure to get the dough.
Oh, wow.
Does my comment stand? Top three donuts?
That is Insane. Top three donut in Melbourne. The cake, like I said, it's moist, man. That's insane. The flavour, explosion in your mouth. The donut's super soft. Amazing.
Dubs is doing a review live.
Yeah, why not?
I'm going to give you typical story TikTok later on.
I love it.
Man, thank you so much, Amar, for coming on the show. We appreciate your words and showing us.
Truly inspiring.
Yeah. No, really, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me, guys.
Thanks for having a laugh with us.
Thanks for the always donuts. Laugh. I'm going to finish smashing this and I'll be there Sunday for the next round of donuts.
See you all there.
And you can follow at Cookie Culture Co.
That's a wrap on the Food Fails podcast. Thanks for joining us. We'll catch you on the next one. Peace.
See ya.
See ya.